life is that we know that God desires to have a relationship with us, especially with the people that He's created. God wants to have a relationship with us. Now, the reason He has to interrupt us from time to time is because we don't always take Him seriously when it comes to that relationship. So many choose to reject. Many choose to stray away from His presence. So this is all due to a lack of the truth, especially the truth being taught, coming from the Word of God. So that means whenever there is teaching, when there's preaching, when we're living an example, then the interpretation is not always what God would like for it to be. But the interpretation is usually what we think that it should be. So this is the time that God needs to interrupt us, because he doesn't want us just to be letting people, whatever we think people want to hear, that's not what God always wants us to tell them. We must preach and teach the truth of his word. So we have a tendency to speak those things that are popular, or those things that people want to hear. So this is for this reason, then God has to disrupt things. He has to interrupt those things, take away those things that are all that we feel that are normal situations in our life, things that just come naturally to humanity. God has to disrupt those things, because He wants us not to just experience the things that we want to experience. He wants us to experience the things that He has in store for us in our life. Now, we don't always want to experience those things, because a lot of times we don't feel that that's giving us the attention that we want out of our life. So God has to get our focus back upon the truth of His word. And He'll do that in whatever way necessary, so that we might see the things that we should be doing in our life that are just not things that are pleasing unto us, but things that are pleasing unto Him. So God has established a relationship with mankind. And this relationship, He wants to make sure that we understand what this relationship is all about. And this relationship is going to come with consequences. There are going to be blessings, consequences that'll be blessings that will be of good works. And then there's going to be consequences that is going to be condemnation when we are disobedient to Him. So during these times in our life, God wants us to understand why it is that He is stopping us and saying, wait just a minute, let me disrupt here for a minute, and let me listen to what I have to say. So in the book of Romans chapter 1, we're going to read a couple verses there. He gives you these two scenarios. So we're going to read them real quick, and then we're going to go back into the Old Testament. But in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, this is the first scenario that he gives us. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination. So this is a path that sometimes we follow in our life. And he says, and because of this, their foolish heart was darkened. So he had to come in and he had to disrupt this. Because he said, we profess ourselves to be wise when we're actually fools. We change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like to corruptible man. And this is something that God does not want to be happening in our life. Now, if you jump on over into chapter 2, then the other side of this scenario is, starting in verse 10, he says, but glory and honor and peace to every man man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respecter of person with God. So God has to teach us. He has to show us that we do not always put our belief in God, even though the things that we're talking about believing in God, but we don't always put our belief there. So when this happens, then we're only seeing what we want to see. So when we study the Word of God, we do not see everything that God wants us to see when we're studying His Word. So this is where God has to come in, and He has to show us what the standard is. We must become that which God wants to conform us to, not what we want to conform ourselves to, because in order for us to be able to use His Word the way that He wants to use it in our life, we have, in order to, so that we can get everything the way that He wants us to see it, then He has to be able to come in and to teach us what the truth of His Word is all about. So sometimes we have to go back to where we say, "Oh Lord, we went over that 100 times. And God will say, "Well, we might have to go over it 100 more in order for us to understand what the truth of it is. So the best way for us as believers to show God's love to the world is just to be truthful, to simply speak the truth of His Word. Now, if somebody asks you about something and you don't know the truth of that, then we just go ahead and make it up anyhow and tell them. No. We do not speak what we don't know the truth about. So this is when God has to interrupt us. And He has to tap us on the shoulder or on the head and say, "Look, don't talk about things you don't know about. If you have to, just say, 'I don't know,' or say, 'Let me get with the one who does know, who is God, and then I'll get back to you.' But not to talk about the things that we have no idea what we're speaking about in our life. So everything that we talk about according to the truth of God's Word must come through His mercy, through His grace, through His understanding, through His wisdom, through His knowledge. So that, and for that reason, then God judges us all equally, based upon the truth. This is how he sees mankind, and then He applies this accordingly based upon the truth. So this is one thing that we have to learn in our mind. God is a perfectly just God. He knows our heart, even when we don't know our heart. He never looks upon the outward appearance, but He bases His judgments upon the truth of His Word. So we're going to go to the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and we're going to look at a little story here. And we're going to see how God uses divine interruption in our life to keep us focused. And this is one of the things that, you know, sometimes we lose sight of our eternal purpose and plan. Now, somebody might say, "Oh, one of these days when you die, where are you going to go?" As a believer, we first one to say, "We're going to heaven. We're going to be with the Lord." But yet the things that we're doing doesn't show that. The example that we're living doesn't show that. So God has to try to keep us focused upon that, because people shouldn't have to ask you where you're going when you die. They should be able to see it in you. So this is the focus that God wants to keep in our life. So in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, I'm going to read the first 7 verses. And the first thing that he starts off with in verse 1, he says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded." Okay? It wasn't Oded himself. It wasn't Azariah. But it said the Spirit of God. So this is the first thing that we must see in our life, that we've got to be controlled by the Spirit of God, the Spirit that dwells within us as believers. And he said, "He went out to meet Asa and said unto him, 'Hear ye me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him.'" So this is what the Spirit of God directed him to say, to go out and to say, yes, the Lord is with you, but only while you're with him. So what does that tell us in our life? God is the Holy Spirit is always in there. God is always around us, but not always do we allow God to be with us because we have decided to make choices upon our own. So he said, and if you seek him, he will be found with you. So now we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school class. We have faith. You didn't gain your faith by work. But once you got faith, you have to prove your faith by work. So this is what he's talking about. So we have to seek the Lord. So he said, if you seek him, he will be found to you. But if you forsake him, he will do what? He will forsake you. Listen to that. Okay, so this instruction. If you seek God, he'll be found. If you forsake God, you ain't gonna find him. Okay, so he said, now for a long season, Israel has been without the true God. So we could see that in our own life today. Are there seasons in our life that we are without God as believers? Well, we're never completely without him because he lives within us, but there are times that we don't follow after him. So we're trying to go in a direction that God does not want us to go. And this is what he's talking about here. He said, because Israel hath been without God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. So when we begin to stray away from the word of God, when we begin to stray away from the teachings of the Word of God, then we're straying away from the truth of the Word of God. And he said that when this happens, he said, when they are in their trouble, they did turn to God and sought him, and then he was found to them. So God wants more from us than just the times that we think we're in trouble and in need. God wants us always to be found searching after the Word of God. So he said, and in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to them that came in, but great vexations or aggravation were upon all the inhabitants of the country, and the nation was destroyed of nation, city of city, for God did vex them or distress them with all adversary. So here is the advice that was given. He said, therefore, be strong. Be strong. Let not your own hands be your weakness, meaning don't put it up on yourself. It's got to be the strength of the Lord. He said, for your work shall be rewarded. But we must be strong in the Lord to do this. So that means as believers that these difficult situations that come upon us in our life, they're going to force us to go in a direction, in a certain direction in our life. If we're not following the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then the direction that it forces us to go in is going to be the wrong direction. But God uses these things to show us our circumstances and show us where our need lies. Our need always lies with the Lord. Now, the problem with this a lot of times is that we tend to look at these interruptions. You know, when somebody's trying to interrupt you and you're talking, what do? Get away from you. And then we blame it on them, don't we? Don't you know better than to interrupt me while I'm talking? So how many times have we done that to the Lord? So this is what happens in our life. But when God's doing this, then he's trying to show us that we need him. He's trying to interrupt us because he's trying to help us, not hinder us from whatever lie it is that we're telling or story it is that we're telling. So the problem is when we tend to look at these things, we take them personally. And when we begin to take these things personally in our life, then we start... this realization starts to happen in our life that we know better than God does. So we're going to go ahead and do it our own way, and we're going to try to make this work out in our own way. And then if it don't work out, Lord, I'll get back to you later. Anybody with me? Sure, we do it all the time. So God uses this in our life. He's trying to draw us closer to Him, but all the time, you know, all the time that somebody's pecking you on the shoulder trying to interrupt you, you're pushing them away, aren't you? Pushing them away. So all the time that God's doing this, He's trying to draw us closer to Him. At the same time, we're pushing. We're pushing Him away because we don't want to be interrupted. We don't want to be equipped in our life to meet these stressful times or these stressful things that are going on within our life. So now in the book of Psalms, the 61 Psalm, Psalm 61, verse 2, here's what he says. Here's what David said. From the end of the earth will I cry unto me when my heart is overwhelmed. That's when I need you to lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So David learned this a lot, many times in his life, the hard way. That when we finally learn to give in to the Lord, then we're going to cry out unto the Lord, and we're going to ask Him now. So when God gets done tapping us on the shoulder and we finally come to our senses, then we're looking for Him. We're wondering, you know, what happened? Because we need to fix now whatever it is that we were doing that wasn't right or of the truth with Him. So many things in our life contribute to this. So, and when it does, then anxiety, worry. You know, we talked about all these things in Sunday school class this morning when all these things begin to happen to us. But what we've got to remember that, you know, God is always in control. He's always been in control. He's going to continue to be in control. We just have to allow Him to be in control in our life. So when we begin to understand that and we begin to be willing to trust that His work will continue in our life for the good, not only of ourselves, but for the good of salvation of others, then we begin to understand now. We have wisdom, we have knowledge, we need the understanding. God tries to give us the understanding, not always do we want the understanding. So we have to understand that it's not our faith that's in us, it's His faith that's in us. It's His faith that's going to sustain us. So these interruptions God allows to take place in our life so that He can use them. And it's the smallest amount of things in our life, these miraculous things that He uses us to show us the way or the direction that He would have us to go. In Matthew chapter 17, let's turn there real quick. Matthew chapter 17. Let's look at this example that Christ worked with His disciples and interrupted them to show them exactly what they were doing wrong when they couldn't perform those things Christ wanted them to perform. So in Matthew chapter 17, starting with verse 19, here's what He said. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? So they were trying to cast out these demons. And Jesus said unto him, and here's what he said. He said, because of your what? Because of your unbelief. Okay? You forgot what the truth was all about. You forgot what I told you. You forgot. So he said, because of your unbelief, because he said, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as what? The grain of a mustard seed. We've heard this verse many, many times. You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. We stumble over a shovel full of dirt because we don't have the strength to get it out of the way. But he said, if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can remove a whole mountain. But yet here we are tripping over every little thing in our path. Why? He told his disciples, because of your unbelief. So one of the first things that we've got to learn to realize in our life is that when these things are taking place, we, and this is what we have to realize, we do not always turn to God. even though we think we do. Well, Lord, I prayed. I said, Lord, here's this coming up, and you'll take care of it. And then the next thing you know, you've tripped over it, and you fell on your face. And Lord, how come you didn't take care of it? You might have prayed, but you didn't believe. Your faith wasn't where I wanted it to be in order for you to pick your feet up and go over whatever it is that I put in your path. So he says, because of that unbelief. So we have the tendency to take these things for granted. We have the tendency to take even the smallest of trials and tribulations. We have the tendency to take them and make mountains out of them. What's the old saying? We made a mountain out of a what? Molehill, that's right. So we have the tendency to do that in our life in Christ. So we have to learn that these things, yes, without God, they are going to be impossible to overcome. But with God, we can do anything. So we've got to remember the promises that God makes to us through His Word, through our obedience to His Word. We read that, didn't we? We have to be obedient to the Word of God, and then He will not suffer us. We're going to read this in 1 Corinthians. He will not suffer us to be tempted beyond those things that we can bear. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. Let's read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Let's start with 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Okay, so we just talked about that. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common unto man. So you got to quit hearing that, well, you know, nothing like this ever happened to anybody else before. Why is God doing this to me now? No temptation has taken you but such is common to man. But God is the faithful one, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation. He didn't say he's going to take it away. He said, but with that temptation, he will make a way to escape that ye might be able to bear it. Okay, so what's that? That's right. That, what does that mean? Contrary to what we might think, first of all, God doesn't tempt you. Right? But he allows us to be tempted. So we can't blame him for it. But he doesn't do it. He allows these trials and tribulations in our life, these things that we're going through, he allows them because he wants our faith to grow. He doesn't want to have to come to us and say, and when we say, Lord, I prayed and I just couldn't do it, and he doesn't want to have to come to us and say, it was because of your unbelief. That's why there's temptations. That's why there's trials. That's why there's tribulations. Because he wants our faith to grow. He wants us to mature in his strength. So in James, and I think we read this in Bible study the other night. James chapter 1, if we did, you all were in Bible study, you're going to hear it again. James chapter 1, starting with verse 13. He said, no, let's start with verse 12. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So he says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. We just said that, didn't we? God does not tempt us. But he says, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So that should clear up a lot right there. God does not tempt us. But let every man is tempted when what? He is drawn away of his. Now don't read the rest of that, preacher, because I don't want to hear that. Huh? When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. No, let's leave that verse out. That verse I don't want to know. Because he said, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? Three-letter word. Sin. It bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. That's right. So, do not err, my beloved brother. Mean, don't follow after that temptation. Don't fall into those things that we know is going to bring death to our life. And I'm not talking about physical death, although it could bring physical death, but I'm talking about spiritual death. So this is what Christ wants us to, his whole plan for us is that we might successfully serve him. And if we're successfully serving him, then we're relying upon his strength and not our own. So are temptations going to come? Yes, I don't have to go back and read that again, do I? Everybody shaking their head no. No, temptations are going to come. We just can't rely upon our own strength in order to overcome them. So everything must come through our faith in God. So this is what it's all about, and we get this backwards sometimes. We think it's the quantity of our faith, but it's not. It's the quality of our faith. You might have all kinds of faith. If the quality is no good, then your faith is no good. So it's not the quantity, but it's the quality. So that means faith, but listen to this. Faith is not just believing in Christ. Because anybody can say, I believe in Christ. That's not where your faith lies. It lies within your unconditional. When you're wholly committed unto him, when we're completely focused upon God's greatness, when we're studying the truth of God's word, when our relationship with him is where he wants us to be, this is when we're relying upon our faith in him. Anything other than that, we're just saying the words, but we're still stumbling in our Christian life because... I have to keep going back to this. When Christ said, it's because of your unbelief. How do you think the disciples felt when they said, Lord, we prayed, we cast that, we did this, we done that. And Christ looked at them and said, you just didn't believe. How do you think they felt? Same way we feel in our life when he says that to us. Like we should be doing something more to believe. So instead of making these divine interruptions out to be something greater than we can bear. And we do that. Everything that happens to us is the worst. Oh, I've got a sniffle, but I've had it for 2 weeks. Nobody else has had a cold like this. I just can't get over it. Well, no, you can't get over it because of your unbelief. So instead of making these things greater than they appear, or should appear, we should be focusing on the greatness of God. But we focus on the greatness of the world. Everything that we're going through, we're focused on it. When we should be focused on the greatness of God. We know, as believers, we know, don't say you don't know, we know what the power of God is. And we know what the power of God is all about. And we know that the power of God comes through faith believing in the promises and the commandments of his word. So why do we fail to use it? Now I know everybody's sitting there saying, this ain't a Mother's Day sermon. I didn't intend to preach a Mother's Day sermon. Why do we fail to use it? So in 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to read this and then I'll quit. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Let's start with verse 2. Verse 1 down through verse 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Okay? We've been talking about this. You've had it in Sunday school class. We've had it in Bible study. But yeah, here it is again. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see what? Are they of God or not? All right? Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that. Now, here's what he says. Here's how you know. Because you say, oh, I don't know. How do I know? Here, he's telling you right here. Pay attention. Listen. He said, you know, because the Spirit confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. Okay? The crucifixion and the resurrection. What Paul, when Paul had all that controversy going on, he said what? And they were saying all this stuff about what you preach and what you don't preach and what you should preach and what you better preach. And he said, I do what? I preach Christ and I preach Christ crucified, period. Okay? What did he tell you right here? Here's how you know the Spirit of God. It all has to do with Christ, Christ crucified. So he said, every spirit that confesses not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. It is not of God. And this is that spirit of the what? Of the Antichrist, or those who come claiming to be Christ or claiming to be of Christ, but they're not of Christ. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now it is already in the world. This is way, how far back is this? And he said, it's already here. We're saying, well, one of these days that false stuff might come into our church. It's already in the church. It was in the church then. So here's what he says. Ye are of God, little children. So basically he's telling you, quit whining. Pick yourself up. Quit whining because you belong to God. God's already overcome them. Didn't we have a verse like this in our Sunday school lesson? Sure we did. God's already overcome this. And he said, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when we walk out the back door after a while, we'll forget that. Because something will trip us up. And we have done forgotten that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God's mercy and grace for us as believers has already transformed us. Don't go back on that. Don't pretend like it didn't happen. Take what God has given unto us and then move forward, because there's a lot more. In our life in Christ, there is a whole lot more for us to do, a whole lot more for us to receive, a whole lot more for us to be a part of. And all we have to do is look to the Holy Spirit that indwells within us, that he gave unto us to lead us and to guide us in all truth. True. It all comes back to truth. And allowing this gift to work in our life. Now, are you going to understand everything that happens to you in your life in Christ? No. You're not going to understand it all. But we're going to strive. We're going to strive to understand it, so that the next time that you're going on and on and on about how good a believer you are, and God's tapping you on the shoulder to interrupt you, you're not pushing him away, but you're saying, okay, Lord, I need interrupted here, because I've done went far beyond my limitations. And we begin to understand what God is trying to do in our life, because God wants to use these conditions in our life. It's not just for our spiritual growth. You know, it's always about us. But it's not always about us. It is about you, and it's about me, and it's about everybody else in the body of Christ, and it's about those who need to come into the body of Christ. See, sometimes we forget that because we're too busy whining. It's always about us. But there's a whole lot more involved in our salvation than just little old me. And the sooner that we learn this, the greater that the growth within the body of Christ will become. And this is what God wants for us. So we've got to learn not just to see it, but we've got to learn to accept it. And these divine interruptions from God are blessings. So next time somebody's trying to interrupt you in your life, and you're getting impatient, and you're getting mad, and you're getting angry, it might be a blessing. Because somebody's probably trying to keep you from telling a lie that doesn't need to be told. And it might just be God. So there are blessings that God gives to us, because all that He wants us to do, He wants us to see that in everything that we do, we're doing it all for the glory of God. So ask yourself next time, when this interruption comes in your life, stop and say, am what I'm doing, is it for the glory of God, or is it just for me? And maybe that's why God is trying to interrupt us. Because it's better to be for the glory of God and not for the glory of Tim. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the opportunities that You've given to us, Heavenly Father. Thank You, Lord, for the times that You interrupt us to show us that we're going in the wrong direction and we're on the wrong path. And thank You for helping us to focus back upon the way that we should be and need to be going in our life. And we just pray this day, Lord, that as we continually look to Thee, Heavenly Father, that You'll help us to understand what our purpose and our plan that You have in store for us in our life, Lord, is all about. And we just pray, Lord, that the effort that we put forth will always be for You, Heavenly Father, for the things that You would have us to do, Lord, for the things that You would have us to say, the example that You would have us to be, Heavenly Father, that everything, Lord, would glorify You, Heavenly Father. We just pray today, and we're thankful, Lord, for the day that You've given us, the day that You've allowed us to celebrate mothers and all the things that they have done for us, Heavenly Father, in our lives, for bringing up Your children, Lord, in church, showing them the way to salvation, Heavenly Father. And we pray that You would help us all to follow after that example and be like them in our life as well. So just forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, remember, Thursday evening Bible study will be here. We're on somebody better tell me what lesson. Lesson number 4, and the name of it is, anybody remember? Gigi will get it for us.
Receiving God's gift, the new heart.
Receiving God's gift, the new heart. So we'll be here. We're here, right? Yeah, we're here. And then next Sunday, I'll be over at Big Isaac Community Church. Pastor Lou will be here. Brother Roger will be doing communion, so let's keep that in prayer as well. Okay, we'll go ahead and praise the Lord 3 times, but Big Isaac Community Church has sent over some things for the mothers, so Nancy and them's going to give that out to you, but first let's praise the Lord 3 times. Anybody else have anything? No? Everybody ready? Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord.